Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
We say things that don't mean anything, but thanks for listening.
Yeah. Hello, everybody, and welcome to We Say Things, episode 218. Suns fan here with the one, the only Cinderman. He's wearing a We Say Things t-shirt. Can you please move up a bit? Please move yourself up a bit. That's great. What a great t-shirt. It's almost like we should sell that in the store someday, but we're just too fucking lazy.
Unfortunately.
Thank you to the people that are not too lazy to give us some money, our In Bruges tier patrons. We appreciate you. Thank you to Humbled Bookmaker Recommends Cocoon. Partial PCL tear equals more time to Dota, no pain, no gain. Zarzar, shout out to Schmerbel. The Shazcast, Granite Eater, Mr. I Love the North Korea Segment, new podcast name, We Say Things Kim Jong Unlikes, Unlikes. That's really good, actually. Monkey Man thinks that Ben Broomhead got addicted to the slots in Seattle and is in too deep comeback, or in too deep to come back. Pepper Balls, T-Coil, Q-Ludes is ready to praise the podcast. Stupid Co-Pilot, Lab Dota, Yatoro does it against Cinderin, MagDev, and Dota 2 has had millions of users over its lifetime through basically only word of mouth.
And Disco Farm D, the Mega Pope, San Xavier, Nate Thicko, 01 Hamscross, Yatoro does it against Cinderin. We still have two of them. Figure it out. Janie, Dop, nothing to see here. Yvremont, Ben Broomhead is at TI. He's extremely lost. No one is here. Please send help. I'm so glad he updated it finally. Wooden Welcome aftertaste, back. Anonymous, and
bless you. That's not part of the patron tier.
Imagine, though, how do you spell that? In 1518, the city of Strasbourg experienced the dancing plague. Hundreds of people danced uncontrollably for days without rest. What?
What does that mean? They danced uncontrollably for... Did they die? We need to investigate this. That's very interesting. But let's move on because Cinderin's too slow. Should have just asked ChatGPT.
I'm just reading this. I've never heard of this before. This sounds so strange.
Luckily, while you do that, we can talk about the segment that people seem to love. People love the NBA segment. Thank you to each and every single one of you five people that came up to us at our events recently that have told me the NBA segment is their favorite. We appreciate you. Unfortunately, this is a bad news NBA segment, Cinderin.
Oh, no.
I just went off on a big rant on my stream, which I'm not going to replicate, about the NBA being rigged, okay?
Okay.
The Suns lost in the in-season tournament.
Rigged. That's rigged.
They lost in the in-season tournament to the LA Lakers, the team that, of course, the NBA wants to make it as far as possible. So the Lakers will be going to Vegas. I will say the in-season tournament has proven to be a huge success. I was skeptical. Players were skeptical. The games are really hype. The players actually care, which at this time of year is not normal because it's, you know, it's like a marathon. The season's 82 games and then the playoffs. It's really cool to see that at this time of the year that these players actually give a shit and we're getting some really cool basketball to watch. So it's been a success overall. That's it.
But it's rigged because you lost.
It's a long story, Cinderin. I'm not going to go through it again.
Oh, that just tell me if that's the TLDR.
Yes, it is. I mean, we played like shit. We deserve to lose. But yes, the NBA is in fact rigged. Thank you.
Okay, good. All right, this is my favorite NBA segment of all time, I think. That was
like as a short.
I like when you're very short and to the point. So that's my style too.
Right, let's see if you can replicate that, because we sure have a lot of news to talk about, don't we? This is the lightest news section for Dota we've ever seen.
Yeah, there's not really that much today. I'll just quickly give an update on the whole game Rex. I got a lot of positive feedback on it, which is really cool, including in person when we were at TI. Multiple people came up and said, hey, I played this game that you recommended, and it was really cool. Keep doing it. So that's really nice. I'll say that I plan to have more Rex for you guys after I come home from Malaysia. I have a couple written down that I think I want to recommend in some fashion. We might have to deviate a little bit from the current way it has been working, which is just strictly games on Steam and strictly great value for money games. I might start recommending games that are a bit more expensive or that are not necessarily on Steam, just to get more good recs out there. I got a good suggestion on Discord, which was to make a Steam curator page. I don't know if you've done that before. I will also be making that. Then we'll have like a catalog of all the games I've recommended in one place, and then we can just link to that so people can see everything I've recommended in the past. Mm-hmm. Except the games that will in the future not be on Steam, because then I can't put them on the curator page, obviously. But that will be done. So I'll make that page, and I will continue with Rex after I come home. So
okay.
Probably a Christmas thing, roughly. Cool. That's that news. That was also pretty fast.
Wow.
Let's talk about TSM.
This is going to be a speed podcast today. My goodness.
When is the last time we had an episode under an hour, though? I mean, sometimes
actually,
it isn't that much.
Recently, we did.
Did we?
Generally,
it's been close to an hour.
We'll go into a week, and I'm like, this is legitimately 10 minutes of talking points. And then mm-hmm. Cinder will just fucking blabber on till the ends of the earth until it hits an hour. Then he realizes, like, oh, man, we've gone over time again. Let's see if he can do
That's
this.
That's what I'm saying. When was the last time with an hour, under an hour? Yeah. I don't remember.
If it's not if not for the last topic today, this would be okay. The shortest episode of all time. But it's going to, I think we're going to get there in the end. So.
Okay, well, here's the updates from TSM, and we will make this very long and elaborate. They have dropped their roster and are no longer doing NA Dota. Look forward to our next steps in Dota.
Yeah, they got to get out of NA as fast as possible. Understandable.
So
it's a shit show.
There's obviously either this means that they are already planning or might have the budget to run a Dota team, or it might mean that they're freezing the game for now. TSM has had some, I would imagine, monetary problems because of the whole FTX scandal, right, which was a sponsor for them. But maybe they got their money and didn't really get any of the, you know, trouble out of it, so to speak. I don't know the details on this.
I have a theory that they've heard how much the arcade in Dota 2 is blossoming, and they want to invest some money into that. They know that
That's
where all of these great projects start, and they don't die for random reasons that have nothing to do with the developers themselves.
Oh.
So definitely.
So this is why they say they are announcing their departure from NA Dota,
yeah,
but not from NA Arcade.
That's right. That's
yeah, they might still stay there. Oh, imagine you turn out to be right. How fucking funny that would be.
That would be the worst business.
TSM invest in custom games.
I was going to say that would be the worst business choice of all time, but then you mentioned the FTX thing already, so I think they have that beat already. Yeah, I mean, it sounds like the roster still wants to stay together.
Their playing is Undying.
Oh, back to Undying. Okay.
Yeah.
And the org, like, if they want to do more stuff in Dota, it implies a team. As far as I know, especially in Dota, they haven't done anything other than a team, right? So,
and they've never done anything else than an NA team, right?
Aren't all the players, like, locked up? Like, we talked about Topson. He's technically part of Tundra. And there's still some unknown free agents, I guess. But these other orgs, they're more established in the other regions. TSM going to another region, locking up a bunch of these players. I mean, we'll see. Who's even available?
Well, okay. You ask who's available.
Yes. Remind
Boom me. Boom Esports
have
dropped their SA team.
Okay.
After, has it been 3 weeks or something since they announced this, or a month? This is meant to be one of the powerhouses of South America. I don't know. There's no specifics here about why they dropped them. It basically says the trial period has concluded.
Did they say it was a trial period originally? I feel like it did not.
I don't think so.
We would have mentioned
kind of
that.
We announce our new roster, and then 3 weeks later, the trial period has concluded.
That's code for honestly, we fucking hate these guys. They really hated them.
I don't know. Maybe they wanted an SEA team and they misread the fine print and it said SA and they were like, oh shit, we fucked up, you know? And
well, it's an SEA org, right? I'm assuming this because they've been SEA for so mm-hmm. long. So maybe the logistics, they thought they could deal with it, but it ended up not being the case. I could see that. But then why would you say the trial period? That's just like...
I don't know. Either way, the conclusion is the same. I think the team, they haven't announced anything as far as I'm aware with the players. So I'm assuming they're still playing together. But Boom are no longer funding the team. So that means that if TSM are looking to other regions, there is one of the big SA teams available, right? They could go the EG route, or well, they could go the part of the EG route that might be okay, aka the one where you have a team and don't fuck up everything. They can still do that part, just don't do the full EG. I think that's a bad move. TSM should not do that one.
You mean the implode from within and just shit all over a very
I guess
established
they might
brand.
Also have had some court drama, to be fair. So maybe it's the same org actually. Yeah, we'll see. Maybe TSM goes to SA. Maybe they try to get a European team that isn't one of the big ones, and they take more of a, an academy path, if you will, where it's like unproven players that you try to build into something good. Don't know. Well, it's no clue. But yeah, the Boom news really came out of nowhere. Yeah, I was like, what? I read that. I was like, this is so weird, you know? It's like, Boom are getting into SA Dota. They're getting one of the best teams. And a couple of weeks later, the trial period's over.
All right. And the final topic of Dota. I had to slip this in at the last minute because we had nothing to talk about. Frostavis syndrome. Yep. It's rumored to come out today. I don't think that's true.
I thought it was rumored to come out yesterday. It would be yesterday for you as well, right?
Yeah, it was rumored to come out yesterday, but because we're doing the podcast, of course it would come out afterwards. Right. Does anybody actually believe this?
I'm going to check the subreddit. So according to the subreddit and according to the Dota client, it did not come out yesterday because it's not out now. So no, I don't think it will come out yesterday.
God, you are such... God, I hate you. Do you think it will come out today?
No.
Do you think it will come out this month?
Yes.
You do?
I do, yeah.
Oh, okay. I actually don't think it's going to come out this month.
I do think they will drop the Christmas event in December. I do think they will.
I mean, it's a winter event.
I mean, hasn't it always been in December?
I don't know.
It would be really fun. I mean, the whole theme of the Frostavis, the assets and stuff they use in game are like Christmas presents on the ground, right? I remember all these presents.
Yeah.
It would be really funny if they drop it in January.
Yeah, it would be.
The whole theme is Christmas. That would be very Valve time. So I definitely think it's coming this month.
So if it's coming out this month, regardless.
I think the whole... Okay, correct me if I'm wrong. The whole thing about yesterday, wasn't that just because somebody asked Cap on stream?
Yeah.
And he said, it's coming tomorrow. And every time somebody on his stream asks for insider info, he always says it comes tomorrow as a joke. Mm. And it made it as a top 10 Reddit post that day because people took it literally. And then he specified in the post that it was a joke.
You know what's great? And I'm sure you get the same thing. People ask me that as well. And a lot of times I joke that it's, you know, whatever day it's, I'm saying, yep, it's coming out tomorrow or today or whatever. Why do people think that we know? There's two questions. Why do they think we know? Number two, why do they think that we would say, if we actually did know?
I don't know, man.
Please, answer this question. You're ChatGPT. You're the real-life embodiment of ChatGPT. Please. I've entered my prompt.
I genuinely don't know. I am not built to answer this question. It's in the fine print that I cannot answer this.
All right, very good. So if Frostavis does come out at some point, what are you hoping for? I genuinely don't remember what the old Frostavis is. Were like, an event of some like arcade type thing?
I mean, the main thing is, I think for now, whenever events come out, the thing I'm hoping for the most is that it's a good PvE mode, I think. Because I feel like their track record with the PvP modes in Dota is pretty meh. There's been I guess the one really good one that was there overall was the, was it called Underhollow? I keep forgetting.
That's one of them, maybe.
That was the one where you explore this like room by room thing, and then you fight each other in the end, and you've built up by finding stuff in the rooms. There's like a big PvE part, and then in the end you run into each other and you fight, and whoever wins that wins the game. That's called Underhollow, right?
I vaguely remember
that. I think
that
was called Underhollow. Aside from that, when I think about the PvP events, they haven't been that successful. The first Dire Tide, but honestly, I think if they released the first Dire Tide today and people had never played Dire Tide before, I think they wouldn't like it that much.
No.
I think it's just very nostalgia driven that people are hoping for Dire Tide. Maybe that's kind of bullshit to say, because who am I to say what people like, right? But comparing it to other events that dropped later that people didn't like them.
I want one of those events. I could care less that it's Frostivus. It doesn't add anything for me personally. Mm-hmm. But considering they're not really coming out with these events very often anyway, I want the ones, and I can never remember the names of them, the ones where you're fighting a big boss together as a team, and then you're fighting waves, and then you're fighting a boss again. What were those? There's like I cannot remember the name. There's one like Wraith King related one. There's one that had to do with like the Night Elves or Luna or something like that.
There was the Dark Moon, right?
The Dark Invoker. Moon. Yeah, yeah, that was really good. I want something like that again. That was really fun.
Exactly. I think their PvE modes have a way better track record, because I think it's also easier to test what the wide reception of something like that is going to be versus a PvP event when you do in-house testing. And I think it's also easier to design PvE events. So we've had a lot of good ones, right? We had Dark Moon. Siltbreaker was my favorite of all time, but it's also a shitload of work. That one was probably the single biggest custom game they've ever made by like a mile. Mm. We had Aghanim's Labyrinth, obviously, which a lot of people were huge fans of.
That has to be the best one of all time. Both of them.
I mean, I personally preferred Siltbreaker because it was more of a... But that's just personal
In terms
preference,
of the
right?
community, it has to be the most well-received.
That was the most successful one overall. I would agree with that. That was the most successful one.
I would love a Frostivus edition version of Aghanim. I mean, I'd be fine with that too.
Mm-hmm.
But I do like
the one you were talking about. We had the tower defense, right? That was called Wraith Knight.
There was
a Wraith Knight one, a Dark Moon. Yeah, there's been like about a handful that were honestly pretty damn good.
Yeah, they were really
good. So whenever there's an event, that's the kind of thing I'm hoping for. It's something like that. And if they have an integration with hats or whatever, they've had some sort of play to earn or whatever systems that they've tried with the custom modes. I think that's fine. It encourages people to play. In the spirit of Christmas, you know, you could have some sort of a gift system. Mm. Whatever. I guess that's what I'm hoping for. And then on top of that, maybe it's an F patch. Are we on E or D? I actually forgot.
I think it's Z. It feels like it's a Z, at least.
But I do think they could do one more balance patch that could even be smaller than the previous one, just a couple of tweaks before dropping a bigger patch probably at some point next year, I would imagine. But yeah, that's probably it. So a nice PvE event and some minor tweaks on another letter patch, I think, would be nice for Frostivus.
If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Yep.
I agree. Totally agree, Sindarin. That's the end of the Dota segment. So,
all right.
Let's start talking about
20 minutes.
Yeah. Grand Theft Auto 6 trailer came out a day early than anticipated because it was leaked, which is really unfortunate. And I saw some posts by like the devs tweeting out that, you know, it feels crushing. I forget the exact wording, but basically they feel like shit because people spoiled their, you know, the thing they've been working on for many, many, many years now. And I think it had something to do with they tried, like, what was it? It was like a scheduling thing on YouTube Premium. I can't remember exactly how they were doing it, but it was like going to be supposed to be like a live event, I think. And because of that system, somebody somehow got a hold of it and posted it themselves. So they had to post it a day early.
I thought I read something along the lines of one of the employees' son.
Yeah, that came out a couple days prior to that.
Okay, but that was a smaller thing, or?
That was a big deal, but it wasn't like an actual trailer. It was just like showing a little bit of footage quickly. It wasn't, because there were leaks even like, it's probably been 6 months or something like that a while back that, you know, obviously you don't want anything leaked, but they weren't like, I don't know, you're a day away from showcasing the way that you want to a game that you've been working on for, I don't know, how long has it been? It's been a fucking decade? I don't even know. Probably close to that. And then it leaks the day earlier. But anyway, they posted the trailer. It has 115 million views last time I checked. It's Florida themed, which is hilarious because all these like Reddit threads that you guys see, they're actually real of Reddit or Florida man does the, like, it's always something ridiculous. And they recreated a bunch of those in the trailer. The graphics look pristine. I was surprised that it said it's coming out in 2025. I'm not going to lie. That really took me. I thought, if you're coming out with a trailer for a game that is this anticipated, I figured worst case, it would be like October, November of this next year. It's 2025. Mm-hmm. So that really surprised me, but it does look, it's just a trailer, but it looks really fucking good. What did you think? I'm not really a big GTA player myself, but I can appreciate the game.
It's basically the same thing for me, right? I looked at that trailer and I was like, the people that are into GTA are absolutely going to love this. I have only played one GTA ever, and that was GTA 2. I played it a decent amount growing up. That's the only one of them I've ever touched. So I haven't really been a part of the development of the series, or you know what I mean. But yeah, I think it looks great. I think the overwhelming feedback that I saw was very positive. Which is, you know, when there's a game of this kind and it has such a strong legacy, it's very easy to disappoint fans, right? Because their expectations are going to be sky high for something like this. So the fact that people watch this trailer and they get giga hyped by it and people overall seem pumped to... most of the Reddit comments that I saw that were really upvoted about this trailer was, okay, guys, we have to stay alive until this game comes out. It's like... Okay, that's an interesting take. Guys, eat healthy, drink healthy, don't get into accidents. You need to play this game before you die. It was literally the fucking most upvoted comments. It's like, okay, dude.
I mean, I had a similar feeling before even reading that. I mean, I don't have a big association with the game itself, but it's like the development of these games take forever because they're enormous. Like the amount of work that's needed to make something like this is mind-boggling from like a game dev perspective, right?
Yeah.
So it's going to be many years between, I mean, they're going to come out with a shit ton of like expansions and whatnot from this one, but like GTA 7, for example, probably like 15 years away from now. That's a long ass time, you know?
10, I feel years. Like, yeah, I was going to say, I feel like there's a good chance with this game that they might dig into, you know, this thing that became really popular on Twitch, the GTA role-playing. I feel like they're making a mistake if they don't double down on that in this game because of how big that got. Like, imagine they actually designed the game with that at least partially in mind. Not that it takes priority over the single, over this, you know, single player experience or whatnot, of just playing the campaign and messing around in the game. But if they really make that a big thing, this could be, honestly, the biggest streaming game coming up in 2025.
That's
because
true.
Of just how much of a splash it made when that wasn't even anything the devs really were catering to per se. It just became a thing.
Yeah,
when you're lucky enough that your game becomes a phenomenon like that, I think you should really try to ride that
point.
Wave.
That's a good point. I would fully expect that. I think it would be a huge mistake if they didn't. Like, that was a very organic thing that occurred, and it's really fun to watch. People loved watching it. People, I mean, a lot of personalities were born because of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what, I didn't watch a ton of it, but I know that like Slack's got into it for a while, but what would you implement to like incentivize that or just to help that grow?
I mean, I think the main thing you need to keep in mind is some sort of, how to say, keeping in mind how you make the game social and have like some sort of a built-in social currency system almost, whereas like if you design the missions and design the world within it in mind that people can perform different roles in the city and there should be something rewarding and something to strive for those different roles, whether it's some sort of promotional aspect where you can climb the ladder in terms of the job you're performing or just implementing new aspects or new facets that you could role play in the game that have an impact, then I think that would be a starting point, right? It's just brainstorming, okay, what player roles could be appealing to even play, right? Because mm-hmm. people kind of invented their own almost. It's like some people were cops, some people were robbers, some people were working in stores or whatever. I didn't watch too much of this, so I might just be, you know, representing it really poorly. But the essence of it that I saw was that everybody kind of built a persona for themselves. So they had like an accent, they had a job, they had a function in the city, they had allegiances and they had enemies. If you implement systems that allow people to, as an integrated part of the game, work in that kind of, yeah, make systems in the game that allow people to perform those roles, I think that would be a way. But maybe it's also a thing you need to be careful with, where if you implement it too directly, maybe you stifle creativity as well, right? Mm-hmm. Like maybe the reason it got so good was that there were no rules, right? So I don't know. It's just it has to be a consideration in some way. And maybe the conclusion for them is that the community is going to work it out themselves and they just want to make a banging game.
Yeah, perhaps. What? Chat, you're going to have to correct me if I'm wrong here. As far as I know, it was only announced for console, which is what they've always done with GTA. But there is a but here. I haven't really looked into this at all. The thing that I was excited about with, and I'm not a console guy, as you know, but there are some games that are only on console, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like console exclusive. And the reason I was excited about Xbox, even though I fucking hate their naming conventions, and we make fun of them all the time for their stupid ass names, all of their games will be playable on PC. That's the reason that was interesting to me. We talked about this on a couple episodes. So if it's on Xbox, doesn't that just mean it works on PC? Like, I don't get the, like, what the disassociation is, you know?
Because
it was not announced for PC.
Right. I think, wasn't it that the Xbox exclusives that Microsoft were making would also have PC versions?
It wasn't just literally exclusives.
Was it literally every game that is playable on Xbox in any way in the future will be playable on PC as well? Was that the...
So this is just off my memory. It wasn't every single game, but it was like most of them. Like I would think 80, 90%, something like that.
Okay. I genuinely
don't
know.
Definitely wasn't just exclusive, because I know the thing that Microsoft is doing that's very obvious, they don't care about these exclusive titles anymore. They just want people to play either on Xbox or on the PC, because most people will play on Windows, right? Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good strategy. I don't know how that's going to work with GTA. Just based on the fact that they didn't say PC, I would assume it's just not going to work, which is a shame, because then I probably wouldn't play it then.
That's what I'm thinking. You have a game this anticipated and this big, and you've had so long to develop it. I understand that I don't know the ins and outs of programming and development and whatnot, but it feels like, isn't it just a missed opportunity to not get a game this big on PC?
Maybe it's just more work
even
than
if
we
it
think.
Even if it is really expensive to make it PC compatible and you need to hire a lot of people to do it, isn't that going to pay for itself?
You would think.
Like, there's a lot of people that play games on the PC and don't play on console, either because they don't own a console or because they prefer to play on the PC or whatnot. I don't know. I'm a bit surprised if a game like this doesn't get a PC version. I feel like that's a miss.
This is how they've always done it, and I don't know how long they usually wait. Based on what I was reading, which, you know, believe what you want, it was like a year and a half or so after the initial console launch that they would come out with PC, but this was many years ago, so I don't know what they're going to do this time. But yeah, I agree. That's the only downside of this GTA 6. I mean, not that this game is, you know, my, the GTA I played the most of was Grand Theft Auto 2, and that was top-down view center. That game was great.
Yeah, that's the GTA I played as well.
Then it got into like this open world stuff, which I understand why people like that. Like most people like that kind of stuff. I'm just not, it just feels too overwhelming for me. But it is fun to just play around, you know, just beat the shit out of people, run people over and all that stuff.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Has any of the GTA games not been on PC? Until this one. I mean, we don't know if this one isn't. But well, I think the other ones were on PC, no, right?
What I'm saying is they've always come out with console first and then PC later, like a year or two later.
That's okay, but the PC past. Version always came out. I see. Okay, so you still think this one will have a PC version that might not be launched.
Yeah, 100%.
Because I thought your perspective was that it wasn't coming out on PC at all, and I was there's no way that it's not worth it.
I don't see the reason that it would be, because it's not like this is going to, you're not going to not come out with PC and then do it like 2 weeks later. It's going to be like a year or two after, you know?
Which, yeah.
You know, it's a shame. But we're PC people. There's a lot of console people out there that don't give a shit. So it is what it is. All right. Next topic is Twitch in Korea. This is really out of nowhere.
Yep.
Twitch made a blog post. Should I just read it verbatim?
Yeah, I think so.
This morning, who is this that wrote this actually?
It says I, so it must have been you, right?
Dan Clancy, Twitch CEO.
Oh.
This morning, I shared with our community in Korea that we've made the difficult decision to shut down the Twitch business in Korea on February 27th of this following year. We understand this is extremely disappointing news, and we want to explain why we made this decision and how we're planning to support those impacted. Ultimately, the cost to operate Twitch in Korea is prohibitively expensive, and we have spent significant effort working to reduce these costs so that we could find a way for the Twitch business to remain in Korea. First, we experimented with peer-to-peer model for source quality. Then we adjusted source quality to maximum of 720p. By the way, were you aware of any of this? I'd never heard that.
Not really.
While we have lowered costs from these efforts, our network fees in Korea are still 10 times more expensive than in most other countries. Twitch has been operating in Korea at a significant loss, and unfortunately, there's no pathway forward for our business to run more sustainably in that country. To all our global communities, we want to make it clear that this is a unique situation. Operating costs in Korea are significantly higher than they are in other countries, and we have been open about this challenge for some time.
Isn't that just a repeat of what he just said?
Yes. Twitch streamers...
That paragraph said nothing.
That's because ChatGPT kind of, you know, reiterates sometimes.
Oh, yeah, true. I guess so.
Twitch streamers in Korea have devoted significant time and effort into building their communities, and we plan to help these communities find new homes. Even if it's regrettably not on Twitch, we will work to help Twitch streamers in Korea move their communities to alternative live streaming services in Korea. We're also reaching out to several of these services to help with the transition and will communicate with impacted streamers as those discussions progress. I want to reiterate that this was a very difficult decision and one we are very disappointed we had to make. Korea has always and will always continue to play a special role in the international esports community, and we're incredibly grateful for the communities they built on Twitch. How many times did he say community? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Are you starting to see some ChatGPT patterns 11. Because you use it so much?
No, this actually proves that it's not ChatGPT.
Oh, I see.
ChatGPT is very good at not reusing words. 11 uses of the word community.
Okay. Oh, there's one more. No, more coming up. There's three more coming up in the next paragraph.
I'm not reading that paragraph.
Three more. Oh. I'll read that one then. For more information, please see our help article or join our live stream where I'll be taking the community's questions. We will host a stream for our Korean community on blah, blah, blah. For people outside of the Korean community, I'll host another session on blah, blah, blah today to answer questions. Dan Clancy, Twitch CEO, Twitch community of community. Thank you, Dan.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, what is there to say about this, really? It's a shit situation, right? I don't know very much about it, why this is the case, but from what I gathered, this is just a real issue, not only for Twitch, that it's something about the way internet fees are done in Korea can be extremely exploitative with the legal implementation of it, and the ISPs, it sounds like, are taking massive advantage of it and kind of making... That kind of price gouging, it sounds like. Mm. It's getting stupidly expensive to run things there. So this, I think, is what any... I mean, Twitch is a business, right? I think if it's true what he writes, that they've been running at a loss for a long time in Korea, I think that's already as much as you could have hoped, right? Is them being willing to tank the loss because they hope the laws change and the conditions get better, and they don't want to cut off Korea from this platform, essentially.
Yeah.
But it's only so long that you can run something like that at a loss before you just have to say, okay, it just isn't happening. Based on this wording, it might have just even got worse, right? They might have run it at a loss and been like, okay, we'll keep running it at that loss. And then if the price gets even worse, you're like, okay, we kind of have to just pull the plug now, right? Because it's not reasonable. So that really sucks. I don't know what the politics in detail are. I don't know why the other streaming sites that the Twitch streamers will be redirected to, why they can function and this one can't. It might be something with routing costs or whatever. But yeah, this is the first time I've heard about Twitch having to shut down in any region ever, right?
Yep.
Like it's just unprecedented.
It's very weird.
So, I guess the biggest international loss in that regard is probably StarCraft, right? That's probably the thing that has been most broadcast and enjoyed by a Western audience coming out of Korea has been the StarCraft leagues, right? And that was a huge part of Twitch's initial growth many, many years ago when StarCraft was actually big. The Korean leagues were the best because Korea just had the world elite in that game and it was a popular game. So I guess StarCraft isn't what it used to be, but it was probably still a meaningful community, right?
I mean, I look at StarCraft, not sure what it's gonna mean to that game, Korea as being the birthplace of esports in a lot of ways. I really, that's the first place I think of. Yeah, this is a shame, and I mean, obviously we don't have any inside information or anything, but if everything he's saying is true, then I can't blame them either. Usually I'm very anti-corp when it comes to this stuff, but...
yeah.
This is good news for YouTube, I guess. Do they not have the same issues?
If they are going to do it, that's the question.
That's the thing, though. Like, and this is
both
where
companies technically have infinite money, right?
So well, that's what I'm saying. Like, it's Amazon and it's Google. Like, these are billion-dollar companies. Like, how expensive was this? Like, they're saying they're operating at a loss in Korea.
Mm-hmm.
Is that like when you add everything up? Does that really matter? Like, we'd have to see the numbers, you know.
It's one of those things where let's say you have $100 billion company and you're operating at a loss in a country of $1 million a month. People will be like, it's nothing compared to your net worth. Why do you care? But businesses will always look to increase their profits, right? So if they have, even if it's a huge business and out of their total like net worth, they're losing 0.01% or whatever a month operating in a country like this, there's no appeal for them unless there is a secondary value to just the money, right?
Exposure.
If the exposure has value, if it has... like, for example, in the case of StarCraft, right? Like, let's say it's a Korean production and the Korean part is operating at a loss that is bigger than the Western one is at a profit. If you think that it generates a lot of secondary stuff on Twitch that runs at a profit because the Western audience get exposed to StarCraft, as an example... then you could consider running it anyway. Even though technically it's running at a loss locally, it might be a net gain globally in a wider sense. But I don't know. I'm trying to think of other stuff out of Korea, right? StarCraft is the most famous one. The Korean teams in both League of Legends, especially in League, are exceptionally good. I believe they have some good stuff in Valorant too. But the difference for me in that aspect is I don't know how big they are in the West, right? That was the perspective I was getting at here, is StarCraft was absolutely huge in the West. Korean StarCraft was big to the Western audience. I don't know how big the Korean League / Valorant leagues have been in terms of global reception. If they were also big, they were never going to be at the level of StarCraft because that was a different world back then. It was the thing to watch on Twitch. But... if they were sizable, then obviously those communities are going to be affected too, right? Because my relatively limited knowledge of League is that the best regions in the world of that game are China and Korea. And I think Korea, on average, is the best out of those two regions, if I'm not mistaken. So I'm assuming those teams are still going to exist and they're still going to play. And the broadcast that the international audience generally watch is obviously the official League of Legends broadcast, which is in English. And I assume they will still be able to go and broadcast it from Korea? Question mark?
Who knows?
But then not on Twitch, maybe? I don't know, actually. That's a good question.
Yeah, there's a lot of question marks, and I'm sure we will hear more about it in the future. Okay, final topic of this evening, or morning for you, Cinderman. It is Relic Arena!
Ooh.
Our standalone game. The Kickstarter is out now, ladies and gentlemen. Do you care if I play the first 2 minutes of the video?
Go ahead. This is a short episode.
That's true. This is, for the audio listeners, apologies. This is the intro video that we made for the Kickstarter, and it's animated. Well, pseudo-animated.
Thank you for answering my ad. I must confess, I brought you here under false pretenses. You see, I used to be a museum curator, and over the years, I've collected many historic relics. But recently, I encountered one unlike any I had seen before. This has given me the power to build something of great importance. Behind these doors lies my greatest creation, a game. Initially, I was uncertain of what stood before me. Gradually, it became clear. These leaders had etched indelible marks upon the fabric of history, and some part of them lingered on. This relic bestows the ability to connect with them. It allows us to command them, to wield their influence over vast armies. With time, you too will master this formidable power. So, my young friend, shall we play?
We'll see a quick gameplay thing here. All right, we're not going to watch the rest. That's me. So,
hi.
Yeah, we had a lot of fun creating that video. Obviously, we had very little part in that. I mean, we made a script and stuff, but we went to museums and Jenkins and I were shooting stuff, which is not allowed. And sometimes people would just watch us, like in this clip. I won't show it here, but when you guys go on the Kickstarter and watch it, you can see at the end of this one with the Tyrannosaurus Rex head and all that shit, the end of the clip, Jenkins is like laughing because there's two old women just watching us, cheering us on because they're so excited that people like were YouTubers. I think we said we were making content. They'd never seen anything like that. Pretty interesting experience. But yeah, Kickstarter for our Auto Battler is now out. The initial first stretch goal was 25K, which we hit within the first day, which was great. The second stretch goal, which we'll get to soon, is $64 or $54 away. $56 away. Oh, NA math, what can you do? So yeah, let's talk about what the game is about. So it's an 8-player auto battler. If you guys played Ability Arena, you know kind of the, you know, a decent amount of it, but it's going to be a decent amount different as well. The theme... The theme around it is historical fiction, which you saw from the video. It's Abraham Lincoln and Cleopatra, our two main characters that we're showcasing. We can go over the stretch goals another time. This is where we just talk about Ability Arena and why we are making a standalone. So spells in the game are called relics because everything is based on actual history. We had a lot of weird themes that we thought of before we went live like months ago. We were like, even in Riyadh, we were talking about the story is, I don't know if I ever told you, Sinner, the original theme was planets.
Oh.
So when we first made Ability Arena, the first thing that I wanted to do, like the first idea, how I came up with the idea in general was, you have spells, you put them on heroes, you can mix and match them, you know, create, build your own hero is kind of the idea. And let's say you put on, and I wanted to have like these base bodies that were kind of like, you know, just these empty bodies that have no definition. It's just these, what are those things in, fuck, I can't, mannequins, like a fucking base mannequin, right? You buy a Ravage, you put it on the mannequin, and it gives you Tidehunter's head, right? You buy some spell from Lena, it gives you the arms of Lena. That's what I wanted. Like, build your own fucking Frankenstein in Dota. But the coders told me it was not possible, so that dream died. So we're thinking, since there's no limitation, what's stopping us from doing something like that now? Because that's one of the issues with Ability Arena, is when somebody has a bunch of spells on a hero, you have to click them to figure out what they do. Why not show what they have before, so that's a little bit more clear for, you know, lower the floor, essentially, was the goal. So that's what we came up with. Oh, sorry, I was talking about planets, right?
Yeah.
So the idea was, we'd had like elemental spells and whatnot. You'd have just like a base planet, like a rock, and you buy like a fire spell, you put it on, then becomes like lava, like a molten rock. You buy an earth spell, combine it, and it's more, you know, rocky, you know, there's more actual, you know what I'm talking about. You just form this fucking planet. So you can clearly see what they do. And we're like, oh, this is pretty cool. Like, you just have these planets fighting each other. You add like a rocket spell, like a fire spell that's like a rocket, just literally has these like satellite type things with rockets attached to them, just shooting shit out. We're like, oh, this is really cool. We told a bunch of people in Riyadh about this, including Slacks, and like, this is the fucking stupidest. It's the stupidest thing I've ever heard. I'm like, fuck. So we had a couple ideas after that, because the thing we didn't want to do is do something too generic, like fantasy. I didn't want to do fantasy. Everybody does fantasy. Yep. So we couldn't do planets because it's too niche. We thought of zombies for a while. That's, you know, also generic. So we thought, or Buka came up with the idea of kind of based on that movie, Night at the Museum, where things come to life, historical figures, because everybody likes history, I feel like. I think it's very unique for this type of thing. Anyway, so relics, you buy them in the shop. They're actually things that exist in real life. This is what I was using ChatGPT for, by the way. I'd ask him, hey, what's a cool relic in Egypt? He's like, oh, he, of course, would tell me, the mummy of Ramses is, you know, a star attraction. Like, oh, I didn't know Ramses had a mummy. Let's use his hand as a relic for the game. So you buy, the example that we use is Hand of Ramses, which is you put it on the unit. They get this mummy arm attached to their shoulder with a whip that is equipped. And it's essentially Axe Shard, the old Axe Shard, where you attack a certain amount of times and it whips around you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's the idea of the base relic. And then the way that we changed it from Ability Arena is when you get it to a super, so with each upgrade, it becomes progressively stronger like it did, just like the base damage or whatever would go up slightly. And then you get to the threshold that's the super, and it gives you three choices. So branching upgrades, kind of like a talent system. So like for this example that we show, the whip can increase radius. It can gain damage with each kill that you get, so it just scales infinitely. Or it can change to be it only procs when you get attacked, so actually counter helix, essentially, right? Mm-hmm. We tried to get something that's relatable to Dota, just as an example, but nothing is stopping us from doing other crazy stuff, which if you watch the long video that we have here, we talk about stuff that's not really in Dota at all. And then eventually, when you get it to a, of course, it was called a Gaben before, which wouldn't make sense to call it that. It's called a Juicy now. It becomes something crazy. And for this one, it becomes Execution. So it's kind of like Culling Blade. If a unit is under 15% health and the whip goes off in their vicinity, Ramses' ghost himself comes out and chops your fucking head off. So what we're going for is stuff that's very impactful, very visually pleasing, very satisfying, and historically has some foundation, right? Obviously, there's fantasy, but it's very important that there's some foundation in it. Like, we're not going to do stuff that's not real, for example, like mythology. But if there's something that's mythological in nature, but there's actually a real foundation to it, we could consider it, if that makes sense. So this is just a graphic that shows kind of some of the relics around the world that we want to potentially use in the game. And one thing we changed from Ability Arena is the hero bodies, which we're just calling heroes. That was one mechanic that we really hated. People, like, I think the one thing that I want to reiterate is we wanted to lower the floor of the game, but keep the ceiling high, because we obviously love competitive esports and all that shit. So that's where, if we have less spells in the game, that obviously lowers the floor and the ceiling. But if you have these super upgrades that you can actually branch out and just choose a bunch of stuff, that makes it more complicated. The ceiling is higher, but at the same time, it's more digestible for a newer player because you are learning less abilities overall, and then you just learn the upgrades for them. So for hero bodies, it's kind of the same thing. So that was the mechanic we hated the most in our game, because it just feels very convoluted and unnecessary to have 120 bodies, but there's no real good way to, you know, mess with that in Ability Arena, because it would just be too much work and just not worth the effort, essentially. So in this one, we have, for now, four heroes. So you have the tank, assassin, caster, ranger. So tank, strength melee, slow, high HP. Mm-hmm. Assassin is melee agility, I guess you could call it. The ranger is a ranged agility, and the caster is int. Doesn't mean that these are hard set, that you have to use them in this way, but it's kind of like a template for an empty body for you to have that makes sense potentially for like a caster, right? Having a bunch of spells, or a tank to have tankiness. Doesn't mean they have to be used that way. And if people think of new ways to use these bodies that feel necessary in the game, then we're going to end up adding that. Like, for example, in Ability Arena, I would say there's three main bodies that you would have. You'd have a tank, a caster, or the ranger. The assassin's not really a thing, but we're going to make it a thing because melee right-click is fucking cool. So if people, you know, create something new, then we potentially can add more bodies in the game.
Right.
So as I mentioned, when you buy these relics and put them on the heroes, they show up physically on the hero. You can see the Sumo has the F1 rocket engine, which is closest comparison would be Charge of Darkness. So it's just hit a backline unit. We're going to have skins in the game. This is an example of the tank becoming Santa, or the tank becoming a fucking gorilla. And then God's
speaking of historically accurate figures, of course.
What?
Santa.
Yeah, that's fine. Well, the units can, I mean, there's people that wear Santa outfits, you know? There's gorillas in the world. Cinderin, okay? This is based in reality.
I think you should make Santa a leader.
We thought about it.
Yeah,
it might happen at some point. We'll see. But yeah, gods become leaders. So this is the character you pick at the beginning of the game that gives you like some passive buff or whatnot. The four that we initially announced were Gandhi, Abraham Lincoln, Cleopatra, and Alan Turing. So I guess I could just say what they do. Gandhi, I don't even want to talk about because we might change his skill set. But Abe Lincoln is going to be Aghanim, which is our most popular god in the game. So you get like the free upgrades to your relics. Cleopatra is going to be Prelix, so that'll come with her snake that you can upgrade with different skills throughout the game. And then Alan Turing, because he's the father of RNG, he's Ogre Magi, which is our second most popular character in our game. And then during this campaign, we hit a couple social goals, which are things, you know, you Steam wishlist our page, or you just back the game, contributes points to like the community pool. And that's a way that we can measure a different, not just stretch goal being money related, but social goals, adding other stuff. So we announced Mozart and Joan of Arc into the game now, which really excited about Mozart. He's going to be very cool.
It's his power.
So do you know who Primal Beast is in our game? Have you ever played him? That was the one designed by October.
Wait, so, it sounds familiar, actually. But I don't think I played it.
He's an economy god, so in Dota...
Oh, yeah. I remember.
Shake up the shop, and then it has a chance for each spell to either be lower cost, to re-roll, or just to disappear. So Mozart's going to be that, but musical. It's going to be like a piano or whatever instrument we want, very musically based. I think that's going to be really cool. Looking forward to that. Two more leaders that we're going to announce soon. I can kind of skip some of this because you guys are familiar with how it works, but for those that aren't, just the TLDR, there's no economy, so gold gets reset every round, which is similar to Battlegrounds. Obviously, we want to cater to a competitive scene, the casual stuff. I can kind of skip some of this. It's going to be free to play for PC and mobile, Android and iOS. No pay to win, no gacha. People get confused what pay to win means. I guess it could mean anything to anyone, but to us it means paying money does not inherently give you an advantage. That's what it means to me. Doesn't mean that stuff isn't locked. Like, we have to make money somehow, and auto battlers are all free to play. That's kind of the issue. That's why we had to pigeonhole ourselves into a free to play. So leaders will, a lot of them will be free, and then some will be attached to Battle Pass. And obviously it's our view that they have to be equally balanced. And I think for Ability Arena, we did a pretty good job. So yeah, you can go through this at your own time, at your own leisure, but it just shows like some examples of like the click effects that we have in the game, the arena, which is the Pyramids of Giza, some sound pack stuff. There's the hour-long video if you want to really just get into the details. And I can quickly go over some of the tiers. So the first tier is a thank you tier for $5. Currently have 32 people. Gives access to behind-the-scenes content. So Jenkins and I will just kind of update people on how the game's progressing and stuff like that. And also comes with a 4K wallpaper of our promo image. The Disco Pack for $25 gives you credit in the game, access to private dev Q&As, so basically on Discord, we will just do Q&As. No, sorry. It'll be private YouTube streams where we answer questions. Access to behind-the-scenes content, which is already listed above. I don't know why I actually listed that twice. That's an error. Then you get anything that says exclusive means that we're never going to be selling it again. So Disco Finisher, which you're seeing on the screen now, that's the effect that plays when you win against somebody. The Disco Spawn Effect, I laugh every time I see this one, Disco Spawn Effect, whenever the units spawn onto the arena. And then the Win Streak with three different thresholds based on how many rounds you've won in a row. And also you get $25 of in-game currency. So you're already getting your money back essentially for the $25. So that's the first tier. Second tier is the beta access pack. So you will get, that's for $50, you get the closed beta access, which we're estimating is in September of this coming year. So you'll get that. You'll get a heavy metal sound pack by one of our devs who's in two metal bands. You'll get two physical keychains, which we'll mail to you, and three stickers. That is the beta access pack.
Then, and $50 of in-game currency, right?
Correct. For $50 of in-game currency, you essentially get your money back for that as well. Then $80, you get Gift a Friend Pack, which gives you a Cowboy Ranger skin, as you can see here. You get an 11x17 promo print signed by yours truly and Jenkins, mailed to you. And it also grants you every digital reward in this tier and everything before it to a friend. So gives them all the effects and, most importantly, beta access as well. Then we go
and
on.
Also the currency for both of you then.
Also the currency for both of you. Yeah. Then we go to the alpha tier, which is actually really popular. 58 people have bought that for 140. This is where things get, you know, we knew that past this tier would be less people investing in it, but I've been surprised with how many people want it. I mean, not them. I mean, I think it's good quality, of course, but still. Alpha access pack, $140. You get alpha access, which we're estimating will be in March. So only a few months away. You'll also get a t-shirt, which will be good quality, and you'll get $75 of in-game currency.
It says that on the frame. They're good quality.
A lot of times people put shirts in their like Kickstarter or whatever, and they're just shit quality. I refuse to do that. The shirts, you guys know that I love wearing t-shirts, and I wear like good quality shit, and this will be the same type of stuff that I wear. So we just wanted to...
Yeah, it's... I agree 100% that that's how it should be. It's just funny the way it's presented. I just think it's funny. They are good quality.
How else are you going to say?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Maybe there's no good way to say it. It's just funny.
Then there's two tiers that you basically need to choose between them if you want to go this high that are both for $250. There's the Santa Went Crazy pack, which has four people that bought it, and then the Cute and Cuddly pack with 18. It's not even close, the amount of people. And we'll,
what does that tell you about people?
We'll see. So the Santa Went Crazy pack, you get the Santa skin, as you saw. You get the machine gun finisher effect, which was the most popular finisher effect in... By the way, AK-47 is copyrighted. I don't know if you knew that. That's why we had to call it machine gun. Mm. You get the punch effect, so the... the gloves and an ultra rare avatar badge, which you don't have anything to show here. Or you can get the Cute and Cuddly pack, which comes with the sexy bunny assassin skin. It, you know, it's funny. This was actually changed last minute, I want to say, like a couple weeks before the launch. Originally, this was supposed to be, because it was actually just a Cute and Cuddly pack. It was the assassin skin in a bunny costume. Okay.
Right.
So not sexualized at all. And after looking at it, I'm like, we should just make this Playboy bunny. Let's just get some boobs in the
game. Is not copyrighted, by the way, unlike AK-47.
I mean, it's not actually the Playboy. Whatever. Forget it. So she is wearing very revealing clothing, and she has knives that are hidden inside of carrots. Thought that was a really good touch. So that's going to be the skin for the assassin. The rainbow cats and dogs finisher effect, which Nikki made the emotes for, the cute... It actually doesn't show here, but every time it goes off, it's different emotes that pop up. So it's not going to be the same ones every time. So there's dogs and cats. Very cuddly. And my personal favorite click effect from Ability Arena, the kitty cat. So it's a big... This one looks like a big panther paw. But you can meow the shit out of people. So that's really cool.
I see someone in your chat is asking, how could this be more popular than Santa? Well, all right, next one.
Yeah, we don't need to scroll back up. Then we come to a limited edition one, the Be a Designer pack for $1,500. There's already five people that bought this one. You get to design something in the game. So it's either an in-game leader, a relic, or a skin. Of course, we have to agree to it. We're not putting Hitler in the game, for example. That's just not happening, Sindarin. So it's got to be good ideas.
How about AK-47?
AK-47 leader. That's good. And then you also will end up getting an exclusive designer profile badge. So the only people that will have that are people that are in this tier and us as designers. And the final one that has not sold any, which I'm not surprised with, is the Whale Pack. You get to come celebrate the launch of the game with me and Jenkins. You not only have to pay $5,000, you have to pay your way to get here to Phoenix, and you have to pay for your hotel and whatnot. We're not paying for any of that shit. Logistics are a pain in the ass. It will be fun, though. We'll spend the whole day together. We'll have dinner. It's funny because the original wording here said, we'll wine and dine you, which is just a phrase, normal phrase. And Kickstarter, when we submitted, said they denied us because of that line. You can't have alcohol in the name.
We will
take you out to dinner. It'll be a nice, expensive dinner. We'll have fun. You will also get a Guppy Pond ground emblem, which is similar to like those extremely rare things in Dota that only drop for a few people, or Arteezy every single year because some idiot just gives it away to him. And you'll also get whale flop theme tips. So you'll be able to tip people in the game, which is just a feature that we'll have in general, which Jenkins is very adamant on this. When you're tipping people, unlike in Dota, it's going to digitally give your gold to them.
Oh.
So it actually matters a little bit, which I think adds a lot of emphasis to it. So it's for good plays, bad plays, whatever. This one will be whale related because you have a lot of money. You spent $5,000 on this tier.
And I think the reason this hasn't sold yet is that I would want money to to come spend time with you and Jenkins.
That's
I
true.
Would want to be paid.
You know,
why am I paying $5,000?
You've never visited me of your own accord. The only time we've hung out is when you're getting paid. Is that what the contract shows for, that you have to get paid to hang out with me?
You're going to say, is this what friendship is like?
That's true. Friendship can be like that if you want to force it, you know? So yeah, those are the tiers. And like I said, there are some goals, social goals and whatnot. So if you wish list on Steam, back the project, you put 5 points into the community pool. If you join our Discord or our subreddit, we'll add 3 points to the pool. If you follow, you just click this link in here. Follow any of the accounts that it shows. It'll add 1 point to the pool for each. And we'll end up unlocking stuff. So the first unlock for the social goal was avatar emotes. So we add emotes as part of cosmetics to the game. And then anybody that backs the game will end up getting the pirate emote pack. As we talked about, for 2,000 points, the two additional leaders, which were Mozart and Joan of Arc. The next unlock, which is actually almost there. Actually, no, it's past this point. But we're going to wait to post it. Sunday Fundies. So every Sunday, games will grant double gold and experience, and occasionally will feature fun game modes. Let me just go over the stretch goals real quick at the top, since we're already there. For $1, already unlocked right off the bat, GDPR compliant. Got to make sure that's good to go, of course. Then our initial goal was 25K, which was bot matches. So there's going to be offline play, which is really important for us. Because a game like this, you don't want to play multiplayer right away if you've never played before. You need to, you know, get in the groove, test stuff out, see what spells do. For 35K, which we're $56 away from, there'll be a replay system. Huh? Is it?
Okay, it's not updated.
Thanks a lot, Cinderin. Really appreciate that.
I was going to be like, I wonder if it crossed now, you know?
No, not yet. But we'll have a replay system in the game. There are billion-dollar companies out there, Riot, that do not have replay systems. We will have this as an indie fucking company, okay? Then the next goal after that will give you the Great Wall of China Arena, and then we'll keep adding stuff as we hit our goals. And then did I miss anything at the bottom, Cinderman? So yeah, generally the timeline, Kickstarter's right now. Obviously, the Kickstarter is not going to be enough to fund the entire game. We never had that as part of our... We were never expecting that. It's just a nice boost, and it gives people, you know, puts the interest out there for... or shows how much interest there is in the game for potential investors. So that's something we're going to be hunting for, is publisher, investors, anything like that to help fund the game as well. Closed alpha is expected to be in March. We're expecting the physical rewards to be delivered by April, closed beta September, and then the full release in the following March, 2025. But, you know, a lot of these things have delays, but I'm going to show you one guy here. This guy right here, the lead developer, Dr. Jester, Mr. Carroll, Carroll himself. This guy's a fucking god, okay? The things that this guy is the superstar. We would be worthless without this young man. Everything he says comes true. He was able to get the code in Ability Arena to work somehow in fucking Unity. I don't know anything about how that works, Cinderin, but everybody that is on the team that has experience is blown, like their minds are fucking blown that he was able to do this. He says that March, it would be very easy for the alpha. March 2025, very easy for the release. We'll see. Everything's ahead of schedule. Like the fact that he was able to do that, what I just said, like get our code to work in Unity, probably gave us 6 months. That's like 6 months of work in 1 month. Fucking very impressive. And of course, this is the rest of the team. And that's it. So yeah, thanks for supporting the Kickstarter. We appreciate you guys. If you guys can't afford to buy any of the tiers, we... would appreciate anybody sharing it, because like Cinderin knows, and I've talked about it many a time, for Jenkins and I, this is our dream to be video game developers. And, you know, we thought it would be later in life, honestly, because the custom game stuff was going pretty well. But because of what happened, it kind of put things in perspective. And actually, it feels like a blessing in disguise, because we just really wanted to do this, and it just feels like the time is right. And we have no what's the right way to put it? We have nothing is like in Dota, everything custom game related. Valve could break the game. Valve could stop the monetization. There's so many like factors that you have to worry about. You're at the behest of Valve. For this, we're at the behest of money. If we only have to worry about one thing, which we hope we can achieve through this Kickstarter investors, then I think that's enough for us to feel confident going forward. So appreciate everybody contributing and whatnot. It's been really cool.
If you had to guess, I know this is an impossible question to answer. How big a percentage base of the player base do you think will play on mobile versus on PC?
Oh, I have no idea.
For a game like this. Like, I'm curious, because obviously the original Ability Arena couldn't play on mobile, right?
Right.
Underlords, when Valve made that, was playable on both. And I know for myself that I played it on both, but mainly on PC. I was just curious if you had, like, any perspective, or if that goes into the development considerations at all. Or if you're just literally like, okay, we're just making the game and then it's just going to be functional on both, or if you make deliberate choices to try to cater to mobile,
so
because you think it's going to be big.
Right. So the thing that I've learned in, it's not just for game design, but just anything that I've worked on. You guys know I've worked on a lot of projects in Dota. I learn from my mistakes. I try to look at history to see what can help us
make. You crossed 35K. All right.
We made it. Thanks, guys. Try to look at past situations to be able to help us in the future. And with mobile, we are going in eyes open that we know we've never made a mobile game before. Obviously, we've never made a standalone in general, but we've made a custom game, which in Dota is almost like making a standalone. It is actually a lot more complicated than people think. It's not like Warcraft 3 where you just jump in. I could fucking make maps on Warcraft 3. You need to be a legit coder to be able to work in the Source engine. So the way that we're looking at this is a PC game, because that's what we're most familiar with, that will work on mobile. This is not a mobile game. That makes sense from a couple different perspectives. One is from monetization. Like, I don't play mobile games. I'm not interested in making it like a mobile game. But it is important for the UI. I think the UI is the most important thing to make sure that it is good on mobile and that it runs well. As in addition, those are the two main things that we're looking at. So in terms of like game design, not at all. Like game design decisions is I wouldn't say it's an afterthought. If there's something that could work for both and it's just like kill two birds with one stone, sure. But if we think something is cool, that's what's fucking going in the game.
Right.
But it needs to run well on mobile. And yeah, I think that we have ourselves set up well, like pretty well for the future. And we're going to learn a lot on the road, like especially when it comes to mobile, because it is something that we're not as familiar with. But we have a couple people on the team that are familiar with
it. You were lagging. Never mind. Okay.
Go ahead, Sindarin.
Yeah. No, I sorry for interrupting you. There's been a couple of hiccups on our call today. I don't know why. So if you have a really cool idea that you're like, we're definitely putting this in the game and it wouldn't work on mobile, how are you going to tackle that then? Is that even a possibility, you know?
Well, technically it is a possibility, but it just comes down to like one limitation. And I'm not going to pretend that I know everything. Like, we're relying on the guys that, like, our team is overqualified for this. Like, these are fucking senior level people. We have an extremely good team. So we're definitely relying on them. And we have a couple people on the team that are very familiar with mobile that know the limitations. So if I come up, or Jenkins comes up with an idea, like, okay, here's an idea to have a bunch of units stampeding across the arena, right? Not really feasible for mobile. So we can still make it really cool in other ways, and we did, but it's more of a hardware limitation than anything, right?
Right. That's what I was thinking, is that there's maybe some really cool shit that you want to make on the PC version that doesn't transfer to mobile, right? Where you just can't make it. Whether you were then going to still make it for PC and then the mobile version just doesn't have that animation or that whatever it would be, right? Or if the idea has to be scrapped because it's not compatible.
Right. Not scrapped. I would say that it depends on the idea. Like, we've been focusing so much on the Kickstarter. There's still a lot of game design stuff that the fun stuff that we want to do that we're excited to get back to. But when it comes to like things that are limitations on mobile, it depends on if it works for both. for example, if you have to make a bunch of models, like that's the main thing that I'm bringing up, like the Stampede thing, you have to make a shit ton of models. It's just not worth the effort for both PC and mobile. And then you have to worry about the limitations on the mobile potential, like with the, and then you have to think about the idea of, if you put this on PC, can you make a different, like, can you make it look different on mobile to actually have it run properly? And yes, you can. So if it comes down to this is an amazing idea that we can't do any other way, it needs to be in the game, then we'll just make a separate version that just doesn't look as crazy for mobile if we have to. But so far, there's been nothing that has really been an issue thus far. It's still early in development, obviously, but there's, I'm not super worried about that, because that's the beautiful thing about having your own IP now. You can do whatever the fuck you want. Like, if something is really hard to do, like, oh, maybe it's not worth it, like, financially, to put this much effort into making this way. So let's think of something else, because we have no limitations, right? It's not like the Dota engine. So that's the thing that's most exciting, is we have no bounds other than finances, right? Yeah, this is all still going to be a learning experience. We're an indie company, as you guys know.
Like Valve, but you're not small.
Right. That's true. We have a bigger team than what's working on Dota 2. No, not really. We also are lacking billions of dollars.
Well, according to Yatoro, you do.
That's true. Yatoro does it again, Syndrome.
Yeah.
Okay. So that is the Kickstarter. Thanks so much for letting me take an entire segment.
It's really, honestly, it's really interesting about stuff like this, because for me personally, I find game development really interesting, right? But just having somebody that does it, that is going through the experience of start everything, right? It's really interesting. That's why it's cool that you can share some of the experiences that you have on the podcast. I don't mind if this becomes like a... I personally would love for this to overtake the NBA segment and kill it off entirely. If we could have a weekly update about challenges in Relic Arena and how you handled them, that would be great. Unfortunately, we really don't have space for it, so the NBA segment will have to give way, but surely that's fine, right?
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see how it goes. I love talking about this shit, as you can tell. Very passionate about it, so excited to get back to doing game design instead of trying to market it for Kickstarter and whatnot. So, okay, that
good luck,
does it,
Shannon, and you're off to a great start, right?
Thank you.
I don't know if you want to say this and how you feel about it in general, but just as a final thing, when you make something like this, it's really daunting, right? Because you don't know. It's like you're throwing it out there, you're doing your best, and you hope people like it, and you have maybe some sort of expectation maybe of how well it's going to go or whatever. Were you guys expecting to reach the first milestone within 24 hours, or was that like a very positive surprise?
Well, I'll say this. It's very important that you hit the first milestone within 2 days.
Okay.
So we were happy to hit it within 1 day, of course. Like I said, we're not expecting this to fully fund the game. It would have to be a lot more, but this gets us started. It gets the word out, and it helps more than anything with investors, I would think. I had zero expectations. I genuinely went in with no expectations.
Right.
Because that's the thing that would make this so awkward, is we researched so much, Jenkins and I, other Kickstarters, how they looked, how they operated. We got advice from a bunch of people, which I want to generally just thank everybody that emailed us and gave us advice on stuff that we sometimes ignored, like putting the Kickstarter out in December and on a Monday. But
that's just your thing, though. When you run stuff, you put it at the worst possible time. Yeah. Let's have a Captain's Draft Miner in fucking January in Washington. -5 Celsius in the worst time for ads, but you wanted to fucking run it, so you did, you know?
Well,
it's the same with this. Yeah,
That's true. That's true.
I mean, there were limitations back then, obviously. It was like, what time slot is even available, right? So I get it. Mm. But this one, you could have, you know, you could have chosen to do it at a different time. Yeah. This was in your hands.
What was I talking about? How did we start that conversation? I forgot what I was ending my thought with.
It was about your expectations for how well the Kickstarter would do. And you said you had no expectations.
Yeah, no. Oh, yeah, because we were comparing it to other Kickstarters, and the big difference is that our game is free to play. Because if it's an auto battler, every auto battler is free to play. If you want to do a Kickstarter, right. I could tell you I maybe found two successful Kickstarters that were free to play. Like, it's really hard to find. But I think we added a lot of value to the rewards. Obviously, there's a lot of people that want to support us regardless, which we appreciate. But like adding like the effects that were made for everything, like these fucking packs, the Kickstarter looks daunting because there's just so much stuff in it, you know, which that's one downside is that there's so much. But we had to do that because the game is free to play.
Right.
So it's a really difficult challenge. So, yeah, I'm overall pleased with the state of things.
Nice.
Okay. I appreciate everybody listening, watching, etc. Sindarin, thank you for joining us as always. I'll put the link of the Kickstarter, of course, into the YouTube description and whatnot. If you're on my stream, you can type in !! Kickstarter for that. And until next time, Suns Fan Sindarin signing out. Peace.
Bye.
We say things that don't mean anything.
Subscribe.
And check out the Kickstarter. Maybe you want a bunny costume.